Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you on 720 WGN. So Frank Stallone has remained one of the most versatile talents in Hollywood for over four decades. His music career has earned him 3 platinum albums, 10 gold albums, 5 gold singles, and seen him top the charts worldwide. Frank is in the spotlight with the new documentary, Stallone Frank, that is, and he joins us on the Team Hochberg phone line. Frank, nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Dave.
You know, usually, and I watched the documentary the other night, usually when someone dives into music and makes a career out of it, there's music in the house that you grew up in. That wasn't quite the case here.
No, not at all. My father was a hairdresser, and my mother really had no musical talent. Her father, who I met twice, played violin, but other than that, it wasn't what you would call. We had a piano, but it wasn't what you call an artistic household.
You and your brother Sylvester both have your individual talents. Music clearly does not run through his blood, but it runs through years, and you are now in your 55th year of entertaining. How incredible is that?
I know. It's really, you know, you never think about it, but when I'm squirt, you know, people go, you never know how fast time goes. And then you do wake up one day and go, oh, my God, it does go fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it really does go quick. I mean, I would never think playing on someone's lawn, 1965, I'd still be doing it. But that's what I wanted to do.
Absolutely, and you've done just that. You and your brother both have said you're a better actor than he is a singer. That's probably true, right?
Yeah, probably. I guess that's a loaded question. I guess, yeah. I mean, but, you know, I've had my fun with the acting, but again, my thing was the music, and that's kind of where it stood for most of the years.
Your first group was the American Tragedy. Tell us a little bit about that story, how that all came together.
Well, it was, you know, I just gotten out of military school. I was in military school, and that was right around the time the Beatles were coming out. And, you know, before everyone at that time was gung-ho to be in the military school, because every TV show was an Army show,
yeah,
you know,
true.
Combat and everything.
True.
And then all of a sudden that Beatle invasion came in, and that was it. I got hit by, like, a thunderbolt, and so the crew cut was not working anymore for me, you know, the military school.
Right. But,
so I told my mother I didn't want to go anymore. Then I went to public school, and I met a few guys I knew. I really was taking guitar lessons. I always sang. I was always a singer. But then I started getting into guitar, and we put this band together in 1965. I couldn't even drive yet, so I was that young. So, and the first gig we ever played, I think, was for the whole band was $5.
Wow!
We played in someone's yard.
Wow.
Yeah, we played on the grass in someone's yard, and I think they had an extension cord for our amplifier, but we had no microphones. We had one microphone plugged into the amp. But from that point, it was, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at that point, I was totally hooked because, you know, coming from a broken home, not the happiest household, music to me was, it was a communication factor. It was something that kind of separated me from the other people because, you know, I was kind of a small kid. I wasn't big or strong and stuff like that. I was skinny, you know? So that kind of made me one of the cool weirdos, I guess, because, you know, bands weren't like there are now. It wasn't like all the people that many, you know, there weren't that many bands like there are now then. So it kind of set you apart, made you a little bit avant-garde, and garnered, you know, attention.
It did. But, you know, it's funny. I saw some of the pictures, too, that you showed in the documentary. I mean, that was a very different look from what you ended up doing for the rest of your life. I saw the turtlenecks and the tight pants and all that stuff. I mean, it was a different era.
Yeah.
It was all about being mod, being, you know, Beatles or Dave Clark 5. You know, it was all about the pea coats, the white Levi's with the Beetle boots. And, you know, and me having, unfortunately, curly hair was the nightmare because the straight Beetle haircut was in. And I tried, you know, as I talked in the documentary, I did everything, but, you know, set it on fire.
Yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely. Yeah, you did start your hair on fire. You went solo. You were part of other bands, but the one called Valentine, that was a big deal, man. I mean, that really put you out there.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, at one point, the first group, there were three versions of Valentine. The first Valentine group, we did gigs. I mean, Dave Van Ronk was the headliner, and Bonnie Raitt was on the bill, too. She was 18, my age, you know? Wow. And then we played there. We played with groups like Rhinoceros and 10 Years After and things like that. So as a teenager, it was kind of cool to play with some of the, you know, big-name recording acts that came in town. Of course, that group broke up. And then finally, there was the one group with John Oates.
Yeah, right.
Paul and Oates. John was a good friend, yeah. And, of course, he was the only one that went to college. We were all a bunch of Dunskies, you know. So he graduated college and did what all college guys do in 1970, put a backpack on and travel around Europe.
But was that the band for you though that you said, okay, you know, even though there were different iterations of it, that okay, mm-hmm. now yeah, you know what, I do want to do this for a living. Was there ever a place that you said, I don't know where I'm going to pivot with this? Was this
no,
one that said
no, yeah. no, no, never was like, I think I'll quit this and get like a normal job. No, never entered my mind. Were there times where I was frustrated and I go, oh, God, man, is this thing? You know, my mother was an astrologist and she was always saying, you know what? This looks like your year. And all of a sudden, I'm 15. Looks like your year. Now I'm 30. It's coming next year. I said, when is it coming? Posthumously or what? You know? And my mother just died like in September at 99. So I said, Mom,
yeah, I'm so sorry.
I don't know if your predictions work and do good. Yeah. And, you know, she's in a documentary. So
she is.
It was just a long, frustrating, you know, it was a journey. You know, it's like any journey, you know. When you're a young guy, you think you're the best thing to slice bread. And then recently I was listening back to my tapes from the 70s. I can see why I didn't get signed. You know, I thought it was good, but terrible.
Yeah. Everybody looks back at it that way. No, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody does that. But, you know, what I said to you before we got on air is that I found it's your story. It's your life story. But the documentary, the way it was put together, I mean, it's very relatable. I mean, we all have life's ups and downs. And, you know, you focus, of course, on the successes, but it just made your story even more real to anybody who's watching it.
Well, yeah, you know what? I think I've considering what I've been through, I think I have a pretty good perspective on things. I mean, my brothers even said, I mean, most people, honest to God, by the time Rocky, Staying Alive come up, they would quit a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
the pressure was enormous. And it wasn't like, it's not like I asked for it. You know, I just sang in Rocky One, you know, and I had a band going for RCA Records. So I, you know, I didn't know if I was doing anything wrong, but you would thought like, you know, I would, you know, I did like the worst thing in the world by being his brother, and the press was kind of relentless.
Well, we're talking
no matter
about
what.
God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no matter what I tried to do, the press could be pretty relentless and at times cruel. But, you know, I was confident in what I was doing, and I believed in myself. So that's what I guess kept me on the straight and narrow.
We're talking to Frank Stallone. His new documentary is called Stallone Frank, That Is. And there's more when we come back on 720 WGN.
Well, I'm never going to give you up for someone else's love.
State player on 720 WGN. We're talking to Grammy and Golden Globe nominated artist Frank Stallone. His new documentary is called Stallone Frank, That Is. You moved to California, and that's when things really started kicking up for you. And you talked about this a little bit. Your brother was part of a low-budget film, which surprises me to this day to hear you say that. It was a low-budget film called Rocky. Low-budget, and they needed some street singers, and you got a call.
Yeah. I mean, when I say low budget, I think, you know, behind the green door costs more, okay? So, you know, it was just a really low-budget movie. And I was the only musician he knew, you know, basically. And that's how it was. It wasn't like, okay, we're going to find the greatest act. It's just like, okay, we work cheap, and I had had experience singing on a street corner. And that's how it happened. I mean, we really, at first, didn't want to do it, you know, because, well, I wanted to do it, but the rest of the band didn't want to do it because we were making $140 at this gig. Jeez. For the whole band, which shows you how high rent we were. So he said, okay, we'll give you $140. I said, we're getting $140. He goes, no, $140 each. So that was like 3 weeks' wages for us. Because, you know, if you figure you have a five-piece band, you're getting $140.
Back then.
You take $28 off the top for your managers. Yeah. That doesn't leave you with too much to split five ways.
No.
Like $20, you know, a night. So five, six nights a week, it's not that much money. So we weren't like, you know, we weren't like a good catch for all the good-looking girls, for sure.
But then record deals came quickly. Appearances on Mike Douglas, Dinah, Midnight Special, I mean, which was the hot rock show. I mean, really things took off.
Oh, yeah. Things took off. All of a sudden, someone had the brilliant idea, not me at all, to change the name of the group to Frank Stallone and Valentine, which I was very uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were really good friends, and we'd been together, and we all wrote and sang. You know, I handpicked this group from all my friends that were all really good singers and good players. And when it came to that, they kind of agreed, but I was very uncomfortable with it. I didn't like it one bit because I felt it kind of, I don't know, it just could put a little bit of a wedge with the band.
But,
and then,
but they didn't blame you for it, though. See, that's the thing. They didn't blame you for it. They never really pointed fingers and was upset about it, but it bothered everybody, including yourself.
Well, yeah, it bothered me because, you know, it made me uncomfortable, even though I did sing a lot and I was kind of the front guy, but I was the front guy even before Rocky came out. So it was a little different, though, when the movie came out. But, you know, we're good friends. Eventually, you know, all of a sudden after the Rocky fanfare slowed down, we got dropped from our label. Gigs weren't coming in. The group broke up, and I went from doing Midnight Special to playing the ground round for like $30 a night by myself.
So
talk about eating crow in your own town. So I said, man, I don't know if I'm going. I'm at this point like 28, 29. My brother said, why don't you just come to California? Forget it. You know what I mean? Just come to California. I got a place you can stay because I had no money. So I drove out to California. And I've been out here ever since. And, you know, when I first came to California, nothing was really happening that great. It wasn't like great shakes, you know. I mean, I was a stand-in for my brother in Rocky III. And, I was trying to put some local gigs together just by myself. And it was going nowhere fast. And then, you know, later on, the Staying Alive thing happened.
Well, as I say, Staying Alive was huge. I mean, here comes Far From Over. The song was nominated for Golden Globe Award for Best Original Song. So you talk about the ups and downs. I mean, you can't.
Yeah.
That was huge.
That was great for me. That was a culmination of 18 years, like, you know, knocking around town and playing and stuff. But, yeah, that was really big. And then when that faded, I did a solo album, and the solo album I thought was really good but didn't do well, and I got dropped again. I said, how come everyone else has got 3 album deals but me? You know, it was just like, so I had to, I mean, I hate to point fingers, but I had to say it was management. They just couldn't rise to the occasion, you know, just couldn't. You know, there's one thing about doing local gigs, and there's another thing about doing, you know, the big ones, you know, and it just seemed like they couldn't make it happen. And so then it was just a lot of drifting and all that stuff like that, playing music, picking up gigs, doing movies when I can. But it was kind of, I mean, it was definitely depressing. I mean, after you go from, you know, all of a sudden being this knock-around guy, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're getting all this respect from songwriters and people that you admire, and then it all stops.
Well, and you were always known in your entire life as a musician. There was, of course, the time, as you mentioned, that you became Rocky's brother, which wasn't funny.
Yeah, exactly.
You weren't even Sylvester Stallone's brother. You were Rocky's brother.
Yeah, it was a fictitious person's brother. Yeah,
you know, but again, coming back with Staying Alive, and I love the clip. I mean, you know, it was appointment viewing long before MTV. You know, you're on Dick Clark's American Bandstand. I mean, you kind of knew you made it when you hit Dick Show. But you know, again, you said Back to California. You were acting. You were singing. But you did a lot of memorable movies over the decades as well.
Yeah, and a lot of them came far and few between. I got to tell you, a lot of them did not. You know, a lot of them didn't pan out. It was like, you know, it was kind of a drag in some ways. But a lot of you know, there were some good ones. A lot of lousy movies. I got to tell you that out of 77 movies, I probably 70 of them were bad. But I mean, I got to do some good ones in between, like Tombstone and Barfly and. Yep. All that stuff.
Yeah,
like
I remember
that,
Barfly. So. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And Tombstone. They have Fred Claus, Hudson Hawk. So there's some good ones in between. But I just, you know what it is, Dave? I never had, and I try to mentor people about this too. I didn't really have a support system. I didn't have that, which a lot of artists that are successful do have. They have a think tank. You know, they have people that have their heads screwed on right that say, okay, this was the way we should go now and do this and that. I didn't have it, so I was kind of just running around on my own accord, you know?
But the stage, and that you spend so many years on, you really love performing on stage, playing guitar, staying true to your original roots of music. I mean, that's really what has made you happy. And I know you've asked yourself, what has kept you in this game? I mean, you know, ups and downs, like everybody has in their careers. Everybody has them. Yeah. They just don't talk about them all the time. But you just love it. You do.
Yeah, I loved it. I really did love it. And I never got into it for the money. I just never did. I did it because I really liked it and I enjoyed it. And so I wasn't like one of these, like, you know, greedy little brain trust kids that go, oh, well, now if I do this, I'll make millions of dollars. I wasn't into that. I was into just, you know, I was into just playing music and having fun. And I just thought it was really cool to do that, and that was kind of how it was with me, and I was very thankful to have that, to have the opportunity to do that. You know, most people have jobs they really don't like, but I was pretty fortunate to have stuff I enjoyed to do.
The new documentary is Stallone, Frank, that is now available on digital and on demand, and for more information, you can visit stallonemovie.com and follow Frank on social media at frank.stallone on Instagram and at Stallone on Twitter. Frank, love the documentary and looking forward to seeing you on stage again when everything opens back up.
Dave, thank you so much. And to all the wonderful people in Chicago, we miss Chicago, so let's open it up.
I love it. I love it, brother. Thanks again.